Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. We begin 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. In the last couple of Daf, we had the sugi regarding Baal Ta'achar, where we learned that a person has a mitzvah asse to be mekayim his nether, to bring this carbon soon after the commitment. We had a mitzvah leis asse as well, which we actually focused on yesterday. Pasuk in Dvarim Chav Gimel, which says, Ki sidur neder l'shem alaykecha leisa'acher l'shalmoy. That's where the term Baal Ta'achar comes from. Leisa'acher l'shalmoy. Hurry up, bring the carbon without delay. In the upcoming Brice, we're going to focus on a similar pasuk, which seems to tell us similar halachas. Tanu Rabbana, we learned in a Brice. This is a pasuk in Dvarim Chav Gimel as well, but it's two psukim later than the pasuk that we had yesterday. The pasuk reads, Moitzos Hasecha Tishmar, you want to fulfill the words which you express, be Mekayim your Nedarim, pay up your dues. That's the pasuk. The Braisa will now break apart the pasuk and darshan each word separately. Now, if the pasuk only says that, it would seem like the pasuk is telling you to be mekayim and mitzvah sasecha. Here we go, we have a mitzvah sasei, obliging a person to be mekayim, mitzvah sasecha, the words of his utterance. Tishmar, that's the next word in the pasuk. Zum mitzvah sleisasei. The word tishmar, Gemara speaks about he shamer or pen or al, which all allude to a mitzvah sleisasei. Be careful. Don't transgress. Right? Tishmar is don't be careful. Watch yourself from transgressing. So Tishmer Zumitzus Leisa says, coming to tell you, don't be over. Don't delay bringing that nether. The next word of Osisa is a Ashara LeBezdin, is coming to instruct Bezdin Sheyasucha, to compel a person to fulfill his commitments. The pasuk continues, Kasher Nordarta, that's referring to what? Zed Nether, a personal commitment. The next words, Lashem Alekecha, is coming to add more. All types of karbanis, they're included in this concept of Baal Ta'achar. Oilos Ushlamim, of course, we're speaking about Oilos Ushlamim, which are Chiyuvim, as Rashi explained for us yesterday. Oilas Ri'ya, Shamechagiga. The pasuk continues with the word Nedova. What is that? Kimashmoi, a donation. Rather than a personal obligation, Hari Alai, you're pointing to a certain behema, I'm going to bring this as a Nedova. That's also on the list. The pasuk continues, Asher dibarta. What is that? Elu kacha bedek habayis. If one commits to donating something to the Beis HaMikdash's building fund. The pasuk continues, Beficha. What is that? With tzedakah. Rashi says, it's an extra word to include tzedakah. Taisus actually brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, Yeitze mipi tzedakah. So we see that tzedakah is related to peh. And that's why we say, Beficha zu tzedakah. So that's the braisa. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, let's go back. We said, Moitzvah Sasecha, Zu Mitzvah Sasei. It's been Machayev, a person with the Mitzvah Sasei, to bring his Nedarim, to fulfill his commitment as soon as possible. Lomali, why do we need another Mitzvah Sasei? We already have one. Miu Basar Shama Vavesim Shama Nafka. Haven't we learned it from a different Pasuk? When you come to the Migdash, Vavesim Shama, bring your Karbonis, which already gave us the Mitzvah Sasei. Next. The Braisa says, Tishmar, zu mitzvahs leisasei. It's warning you against neglecting your obligations. Lamali, why do we need another mitzvah leisasei? We leisa'ach leshamwe nafka. We had it yesterday. Leisa'ach leshamwe is coming to tell you, don't be over, don't transgress, don't delay. Next, vasisa, which is coming to tell you what? Ashora lebezn shiasucha. Bezn is instructed to force a person to be Mekayim is Neder. Lamali, why do we need a pasuk for that? We already know that from elsewhere. Miyakrav Oisei Nafka. Haven't we learned that from the pasuk Yakrav Oisei Desanya? The Braisa says, Yaakov Oisa. This is a pasuk towards the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, which says that a person is meant to bring his korban, oil korbanai, yakrivenu al pasach oil mayid, yakriv oisai, the ritzoin elifnei Hashem. Now, why do we need the extra words yakriv oisai? Because the pasuk could have sufficed with yakrivenu. We learn from here that we force the person yakriv oisai, malamet shekayfin oisai. If one fails to bring his carbon, Bezna will force him, Koifin Oisei, to bring it. Yochel Ba'al Karach, perhaps, even against his will. Tamad Loimi Liritzoinai. The Pasuk continues, Yaakov Oisei Liritzoinai, willingly. Well, how could he do it forcefully and willingly at the same time? Okay, Tzad, how do you do this? Koifin Oisei, Chiyem Eretzani. We force him until he says, I want. I'm doing it willingly. Now, how does this work? If it's Koyif and Oisei, then obviously he doesn't want to do it. Says the Rambam, actually in Hilchas Gittin, that at times a person's Yetzirah clouds over the Yetzir Toiv. It creates that smoke stream, that distraction, and by beating him, by forcing him, we are pushing aside the Yetzirah, which isn't really his true Ratzon, isn't really his real will. And then his real Ratzon shines out, and he says, Reitzani, which is an expression of his Yetzer Toiv, unaffected and undisturbed by the Yetzer Hara. In any case, we have a Braisa, which learns the same halach from another pasuk. Now, we do force a person to fulfill his obligations. Why do we need another pasuk to tell us the same thing? So really, it's a kasha on the entire Braisa. We have a whole arrangement here. A pasuk which tells us mitzvah sasei, mitzvah lois sasei, and also koifin oisai, where it seems that we already know all these things from elsewhere. That one is meant to hurry up to be mekayim his nedarim, not to delay, and if he does neglect, Bezdin will force him to do it. Answers the Gemara, two separate things. Chad amar v'lay afrish. One arrangement of psukim is speaking where he committed, he spoke, but he had not yet set anything aside for the carbon, for fulfillment of that nether. V'chad. And the other arrangement of psukim is speaking where Afrish, he already set aside the carbon, for instance. So not only did he commit himself, but he actually was mafresh the carbon, or the tzedakah, or the nether, or whatever it is. V'lo yakriv, but he failed to bring it. He didn't actually bring the carbon, or give the tzedakah. So one case is where he spoke, but hadn't done anything to be mekayim that dibur. He didn't act upon his commitment. The other set of psukim is where he did act upon it. He did hafrasha, but he has yet to deliver the item. And in both cases, we learn there is a mitzvah sasei to hurry up. A lady sasei warning you against neglecting to be mekayim that chiv, and we have bezn, which are kaifa, a person to bring it about. Utsricha, and both psukim are needed. Both these scenarios carry an inherent chiddush, which is not found in the other case. The yashmin and amar v'lei afrish. Had the psukim only spoken about the case where he expressed, he committed, verbally without being mafrish, I would say, yeah, this person better hurry up. Bishem deloy kaimi lidibure, because he didn't do anything. He didn't even act upon his dibur. He spoke and spoke, but didn't do anything about it. And the Torah is warning him against doing that. You have to be mekayim your dibur. You can't just let your dibur hang without fulfillment. So I would think in that case, he has a chiv to hurry up. Aval afresh v'lay akriv. But suppose he was mafresh the karm, but didn't yet deliver it to the migdash. Perhaps I would say it's not so terrible. Ema, you can say, kol echad isay, wherever that karbon is, be'gozo derachmona isay, it's as though it's sitting in the treasurer house, Be'gaza, the treasury, the Rachman of Hashem. Okay, he didn't deliver it yet, but wherever it is it within Hashem's domain? The Gemara in Chulin adds the pasuk, L'Hashem ha'aretz u'maloyo. Whoever the animal is, let's deem it to be within Hashem's domain, and therefore delivery is not so crucial. Tzricha. That's why we need a pasuk for that as well. Hurry up, deliver the animal. Be mekayim the carbon, the akrava, all the way until the actual hakrava. V'yashmin and afresh v'li akrav. Had the pasuk only spoken about a case where he set it aside, he was mafresh, but was not yet makrav, I would say that's terrible. The kamashile gabei, he's withholding something which doesn't belong to him. He's mashe by himself something which belongs in the Mikdash. That's terrible. Aval amar v'li afresh, but if he only spoke but was not yet mafresh, I would say it's not so terrible. Of course, he has to be makayim the commitment eventually, but perhaps bal ta'acha doesn't apply. Emo dibura v'li klumu. Dibur itself is not so tangible, it's not so significant. Perhaps all these halachas will not apply to dibur tzricha. That's why we need a pasuk to tell you. Mitzvah sasei. Mitzvah loisasei bal ta'acha. And the concept of kifin oisai applies in both cases equally. When he spoke without hafrasha, or hafrasha without delivery, both are grouped together and put under this banner of Baal Ta'achar. Says the Gemara, Umi Motzes Amrus D'Amar V'Lei Afresh. How can you say that one of these psukim arrangements are directed on a case where he was Oimer, he just verbalized, he expressed the commitment without Afrasha? How could that be? V'Nadava K'siva. On this list we find Nadava as well. And what is Nadava? Nadava is designating a certain animal for Akrava. So apparently he was Mafresh. How can you say he was Omar V'Lei Afresh? Nadava by definition means Hafrosh. Utsanan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, which says, Ezehu Neder. What is the difference between Neder and Nadava? Ezehu Neder. A Neder is Ha'imer Harei Alai Oila. I am going to bring an Oila. It's a personal commitment. Ve'ezehi Nadava. What is Nadava? Ha'imer Harei Zu Oila. This specific animal will be an oila. Uma bein neder l'nadava. What halachic difference is there between one and the other? When it's a neder, so it's a personal commitment, he's not going to be exempt until he fulfills that commitment. May say nignav, suppose he was mafresh an animal for carbon. It died, it was stolen. Chaya bachar yusay. He has to look after the commitment that he made. He has to be mekayim that neder despite the fact that the animal that he was mafresh went missing. It's a personal commitment. As opposed to Nadava, where he designates a certain animal as a korban, without personal commitment, this is going to be an oil, a shlamim. In that case, if the animal gets dies or gets stolen, he's not chay bachrayis. In any case, we see that Nadava is harizu, which inevitably means hafrosh. So how can you say that we're speaking where he was Amar V'Lei Afresh, we spoke without Afresh, would it be a Nadava? Amar Rava, I'll find you a Amar V'Lei Afresh, which can have the status of Nadava. And that's what the pasuk is speaking about. Mishkach Asla. We're speaking about the following case. Kigoy de Amar, Harei Alai Oila. He says, look, I'm going to bring an Oila. It's a personal commitment, but he inserts a condition. On condition that I will not be obligated to look after it. I'm not responsible for loss of stolen karbanis. So here we have an omar, expression, verbalization, without a personal commitment. So really it's another version of nadava. That's what the pasuk is speaking about when we say omar v'lei afresh. As per nadava, we're speaking about this type of case. Asks Tosfos, why is this different than Masna amashakasa b'teira? A person can't just manipulate the Torah. I want to do this on condition that, well, if the Torah considers this to be a personal commitment, then he's chay b'achrayis. How can he come up with this new creature? I'm going to bring an oila, but not be chay b'achrayis. So in the words of Tosfos, it's loy dami lemasna amashakasa b'teira. It's not like a person wants to condition a halacha according to his liking. It's like dummy. You can't compare it. We don't have that concern here. Tosfos doesn't really explain why. Tosfos the Rush adds, he says, because we assume that he wants to make an adava. The fact is, he's saying, I don't want achrayis. Although he starts by saying harayel, which sounds like a nadal, like a personal commitment. The fact is, he concluded with the words, ein echay b'achrayisa. So the das, the assumption that the das of this person is to really create a nedava commitment, and that's all. The Ritva actually says a little different. He says that when we say neder carries with it achrayis, it's not because the Torah mandated that neder comes along with achrayis. It's because that's what he had in mind. When he says, Ari Alai, I am committing to bring that oila and look after until it's brought, says the Ritva. But if he actually spells it out differently, he says, I'm going to bring an oila without achrayis, okay, so we don't have that mindset, we don't have that das, we don't have that commitment, that shibud. So it's considered like a nadava. Continues the Gemara. We said befichas utztaka. The word befichas come to include a tztaka commitment, which also carries with it the halachas of al ta'acher if one delays fulfilling the mitzvah of tztaka. And the Braisa learns that it goes together with karbanos. And therefore, the halacha b'al ta'acher only gets triggered once he misses three yamim tovim, three regal, according to that sheet. Amar Rava, you meant to know that tzedakah is different. Tzedakah mechayiv ala la'altar. B'al ta'acher, by tzedakah, applies immediately. My time and why? Why is it different than karbanis? Da'okai mi'anim, because he has a name to give him to. It's different than karbanis, which are meant to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, which is visited three times a year. There you have three Yamim Tovim as opportunities, but here, tzedakah is not dependent upon the Mikdash. If you have anim, give it to them. So he's chayv right away. As soon as he has an opportunity to give a tzedakah, he neglects that opportunity. Baal ta'achar sets in. Pshit? Well, of course. What's the chiddush of Rava? Isn't that self-understood? As soon as he ignores his commitment, he's chayiv in Baal Ta'achar. Mal detema, perhaps I would say no. Kivan de binyana de karbanos siva. Since we find that tzedakah is on that list amongst the other karbanos, perhaps it's meant to be compared to karbanos. Ada avri elagimul urgalim kir karbanos. Perhaps Baal Ta'achar only sets in when he misses three regalim, just like the karbanos. Kamal shemon the chiddush is no. When it comes to tzedakah, we treat it differently. And what is the svara? What is Rava's reason? Explains the Gemara. Hasam hu detalinu rachmanu b'regalim. By karbanis, we understand that the Torah would depend upon regalim, because the regal is when you visit the Mikdash. And that's when you have an opportunity to bring your karbanis. We understand why it depends on regalim. Aval hachaloi, but when it comes to tzedakah, why would it depend on regalim? Toshchichi aniyim. We have aniyim who can receive the tzedakah, and therefore says Rava, the Baal Ta'achar of tzedakah is not dependent upon regalim. Now, it's interesting to note that Tosfos back on the Dalet, on that brisa, which actually tells us that tzedakah, as well as chatois v'ashamois, are all dependent upon three regalim. So it sounds like tzedakah is connected to other karbanos when it comes to Baal Ta'achar. So Tais asked the kasha on Rava. How does this work with Rava, who tells us over here that tzedakah is mechayiv al-alter right away? Says Tais, Rava is speaking when there are aniyim present before him, so he can give it to them. So why is he ignoring the aniyim? He's chayiv Baal Ta'achar right away. The brisa there is speaking, there are no aniyim before him, no aniyim available to receive its tzedakah, and therefore he has three regalim to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav, kiven she'avar olav regal echad, another halacha in the name of Rav. Even when it comes to karbanos, where a person is generally allotted three regalim for Baal Ta'achar, but you meant to know, when it comes to mitzvahs asay, kivin she'avar olav regal echad eiver asay. As soon as he allows one yomtiv to pass him by, he's eiver an asay. Which asay? We actually had this the other day. Ubas hashama, aveisim shama. As soon as you come, bring the card. So the first regal trigger is the mitzvahs asay. Although when it comes to the lois asay, he has three regalim for that to happen. Meisvei. Got to have a kasha from a Mishnah on Rava. The Mishnah is speaking about a Vlad an offspring of a shlamim. According to some shitas, you can't bring it as a carbon. According to others, you can. You actually treat it like a shlamim itself. Heid Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Paphias, both of these tanoim testified that personal experience with this halacha. And he testified, Avlad shlamim, Shikra of shlamim. The offspring of a shlamim is brought, is treated like a shlamim itself. Amar Paphias, and he made it. I have personal testimony. We had a para, which was actually a shlamim. The para we ate on Chag HaPesach. And what happened to the offspring of that para? And the vlad of that shlamim we ate b'chag during Sukkos. So this proves the point that a vlad shlamim is treated like a shlamim. Okay, that's the Mishnah. How does this pertain to our Sukkot? Says the Gemara, why do they wait until Sukkot, from Pesach to Sukkot? Bishlam and Pesach like Ravu, I understand why they couldn't bring it as a shlamim on Pesach itself. Emor the Mechuzah Zmanava, perhaps it was underage. It wasn't yet 8 days old, which would allow it to be brought as a karm. Okay, so it couldn't be brought on that actual Yom Tov Pesach. Perhaps it was a newborn, too early. Elav Lada Batzar Seicha Mashila. But how do they allow it to pass through Shavuos? Hechi mashila. Why did they delay it? Va'avri alei ba'asei. According to Rav, as soon as you miss one Yom Tov, you miss the Mitzvah Asei. Amar Zvid Mishmet Rav. Zvid answered the name of Rav himself. You know why they didn't bring it on Shavuos? Kigoyin shehaya chayle batzeres. The Vlad, the offspring, was unwell on Shavuos, and Taisus brings a Gemara. That a chayle is actually puzzle. To be brought as a karma, therefore, they didn't bring it shvuos. Okay? So although typically, you meant to bring the karma right away, and if you allow one yomtov to pass by without bringing it, the mitzvah's assay was considered to be neglected. But this case is different because it was unavailable for akrava. Rav Ashi Amar has another teretz, Maya v'achal v'lod ha'shlamim v'chag. Diktani. What does Paphias mean when he says that we had the Vlad b'chag, Chag HaShavuos? He actually means Shavuos. There's no kasha. V'idach, what does Rava do? Why didn't Rava answer this teretz? He says you can't say Chag is referring to Shavuos. Why? Because Kolecha Detani, Pesach, whenever we have a mentioning of Pesach and followed by a mentioning of Sukkos, of Shavuos, Tani Atzeres. The Chazal would use the word Atzeres. Actually, the Ramban and Chumash says that Pesach and Shavuos go together, hand in hand. It's like you have Chalamoid between Pesach and Shavuos. First part is called Chag HaMatzah, is Pesach, and the second part is called Atzeres. So when you lead into Shavuos, coming from Pesach, you say Pesach and Atzeres. So over here, if indeed the term Chag is a reference to Shavuos, it would have used the word Atzeres instead of Chag. The fact that the Mishnah mentions Chag in close proximity to Pesach, apparently it's referring to Sukkos. So that takes back to the Kasha. Why did they allow it to pass through Shavuos? Apparently it was not Roy Fakrova, it was a Chayla. Continues the Gemara with a third halacha in the name of Rava. Amar Rava, Kim Shavar Lav Gimel Rugalim. You have a carbon to be brought, a nether to be fulfilled, and you pass through three Rugalim, which triggers the Baal Ta'achar. It's not only a one-time lav. It's a recurring, repetitive lav. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim over Baal Ta'achar. As long as he neglects the fulfillment of that nether, Baal Ta'achar is an ongoing isser. Every day is like a new zman, zman akrava. Every day garners a new lav of Baal Ta'achar. Meisve, listen to this kasha from the Braisa, which seems to say otherwise. Echad b'chor v'echad kol ha'kotcha. Whether it's a b'chor, which is meant to be brought as a karma or eaten to its balam, depending if it's a tam or balmum, within that year. Pasuk says, shana b'shana. So you meant to bring it within the first year. But you meant to know that this year allotment applies not only to b'chor, it applies to other karbonas as well. You see, this is really a teseftin erichin, which is very similar, perhaps learned in close proximity to that brisa that we had back on the Dalet Amud Aleph on the bottom, which gave us a full list of shitas when it comes to Baal Ta'achar time frames. We had one regal, two regalim, three in order, three out of order, etc. And we have another brisa which adds another shita to the list. This brisa adds the concept of shana. Allowing the nether to linger past a year also triggers Baal Ta'achar. So once again, the brisa says, echad b'chor v'echad kol ha-kotcha, whether it's a b'chor or other karbanis. Once you allow a year to pass by, even if you don't have the three regalim yet, the Gemara soon will explain how that's possible. How could you have a year without three regalim? So either it's a year without the regalim, that also triggers Baal Ta'achar. Tosfos explains because we learned the other karbanos from Bechor, that a year is considered the time frame, the deadline for Hakrava. Or, says the Braisa, regalim b'lei shana. You have three regalim pass you by without a year. That's pasha. You could have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos in 7 months. You don't need a year to pass you by. So you could have either or. Either the shana without regalim or regalim without shana. Oivir b'baal ta'achar. That triggers baal ta'achar. Okay. It's going to be a kasha on Rav, who said that once baal ta'achar sets in, it's an ongoing, recurring love. B'chol yom v'yom. Now, why is this a kasha on Rava? What does that have to do with Rava? Vai mai tuyufte? How do you see a tuyufte kasha from this price on Rava? Om Rav Kahana, mando kamoisev. You meant to know that the person who asked this kasha from the price on Rava, shabba kamoisev, he asked well. Why? Michte, let's analyze. What is this Tana trying to do? Trying to present all types of love scenarios. Right? All types of cases of Baal Ta'achar. A year triggers Baal Ta'achar. Regalim triggers Baal Ta'achar. Michti Tana Alavika Mahadar. Tana is looking for lavim, so to speak, opportunities. So many different ways to apply Baal Ta'achar. Listen, Michol Yom V'yoyim. Oyver Baal Ta'achar. That's the case, and the Brisa should add that as well. Look, he meant to know every day there's a Baal Ta'achar. The Brisa is trying to present all different types of Baal Ta'achar possibilities. In fact, the Brisa did not mention that. That's a raya. That it's incorrect. Baal Ta'achar is a one-time thing, one-time event. Once it sets in, it gets applied once, and that's it. Says the Gemara, V'idach. What does Rava do? How does Rava respond to this price? Rava who said that Baal Ta'achar is going to apply b'chol yom v'yom. What is he going to do with the price, which doesn't mention that? Tana l'mikbe b'lav kamahada. The Tana is simply trying to tell us when the lav gets nikba, when it gets established, when it gets activated, either through a shana or through a regalim. But lavi is sadri like a mahada. The Brisa isn't necessarily looking for numbers of lavim. This is so many lavim happen. No, that's not the point of the Brisa. It's just a question of when it gets activated, that's all. But certainly once it's activated, perhaps it happens b'chol yom v'yom. It's a recurring lav. Okay, so we have three halachas in the name of Rava. Number one, that although the lav of Baal Ta'achar depends on three regalim being neglected, but the mitzvahs asay gets applied as soon as he misses the first regal. We had another halacha in the name of Rava regarding tzedaka, that if you have aniyim that can accept the tzedaka, the Baal Ta'achar sets in right then and there. We had the halacha of Rava over here, that once Baal Ta'achar sets in, it's a daily isur, he's over b'chol yom v'yom. Okay, now he's going to analyze the brisa that we just mentioned. Kufa, let's go back. The brisa said, echad b'chor v'echad kol ha-kotch, whether it's a b'chor or other karbonis. Kiven sha'avar aleim shana b'lei regalim, as soon as he allows a year to pass him by, even if there are no three regalim contained in that year, or regalim b'lei shana, you have three regalim without a year, Oiver Baal Ta'achar sets in. Let's try to analyze this. How's this possible? B'yishleim regalim b'lei shana. Now that works. You can have regalim, three yomim tovim, without a year. Mishkachas. You can have that how? Very simple. You could have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos within 6 or 7 months. So three regalim without the shana activates Baal Ta'achar. Ela shana b'lei regalim hech mishkachas. But how is it possible to have a year without three yomim tovim? Now, hanicha leman de isla kesidron mishkachas lo. If we would propose that this Tana, who speaks about the Shana deadline for Balta Acher, is somewhat following in line with Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who said that the Regalim concept is Dafka when it's an order. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So if he's following with that Shita, that holds that Regalim needs to be Kesidron, but he adds and he says you can have a Shana as well, which activates Baal Ta'achar. So he's sort of straddling both sides of the path here. He's taking an element of Rav Shimon, Regalim, Kesidron, can trigger Baal Ta'achar, and likewise, even if it's a year, without Regalim, Kesidron, you can have Baal Ta'achar as well. He's coming to add that element. But when it comes to the Regalim aspect, he's following Rav Shimon's Shita. Needs to be Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So now we can understand what he meant when he said Shana b'le Regalim. You can have a year without Regalim Kesidron. So it's either or. Either Regalim Kesidron, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos in order to trigger Balta Acher, or even if you have a year passing you by without Regalim Kesidron. That certainly makes sense, because let's say the nether happened before Shavuos, Erev Shavuos. So you have Shavuos and Sukkos, and then you start the cycle again, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. You have a total of 5 Yom Tov until Bata Acher sets in, if it's dependent upon Regalim Kesidron. That was Rav Shimon's Shita. We had this back on Daf Dalet. This Tana disagrees. He says, as long as a year passes you by, we learn this from Pchur, a year in itself is reason enough to trigger Bata Acher, even if it's a year without Regalim Kesidron. So again, Hanichal Mandi is the Kesidron. If this Tana is adopting somewhat Reb Shimon's concept that Regalim needs to be in order, so you can have this type of case, that a Shana will not have Regalim Kesidron. Right? If you have the nether committed to before Shavuos, let's say, you can have a whole year pass you by till next Shavuos without 3 Regalim Kesidron, because you had Shavuos, Sukkos, and Pesach, 3 out of order. But if this Tana is not following Reb Shimon, let's say it's following the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, that we don't hold of Regalim Kesidron. How could you find that you'll have a year since the Nether without 3 Yomim Tovim? It's impossible. Every year has 3 Yomim Tovim. So what does the Brisa mean? Now, Bishleim el Rebbe Meshkachasla. We have machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabban. A general machlokes regarding how to define the word Shana in the Torah. According to Rebbe, it's a solar year, which contains 365 days. According to Rebbe, Shana in the Torah is always referring to that consistent set year containing 365 days. Whether it's a leap year, regular year, it doesn't matter. It's consistently 365 days. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that a Shana is a lunar year. 12 lunar months. Sometimes you have a Shana Mubaris, a leap year where you add another Adar. So you end up with about 384 days. Sometimes it's a standard year, which gives you 354 days. So Bishlam Le Rebbe, according to Rebbe Meshkachasla, you can have a year without 3 Regalim. How? Bishanu Waberes. If you have a leap year. So first outside. Let's say you have a leap year. So when it comes to the lunar counting, it's going to be 384 days. Now, according to Rebbe, we follow the solar. It's 365 days. So let's say he committed to the nether after Pesach. This year after Pesach. Now, 365 days later is when the year is over. It so happens it was a leap year. So they added another Adar. So the year is really 384 days. Meaning to get around to the next Pesach, you have to pass through 384 days. Now according to Rebbe, it's 365 days, which means that as soon as he finishes his year of 365, it's still before next Pesach. So he'll have a year, a Torah year, according to Rebbe, a Torah year is 365, without passing through 3 Yomim Tovim. So you have a Shana, let it go. So according to Rebbe, it works. But according to Rabbanan, it's not going to work. So let's see. Bishlam el Rebbe Meshkachas. According to Rebbe's Shita, a year is defined by 365. Mishkachas labishana baberes. You can have this scenario of a shana b'lei regalim if it happens to be a leap year. This sanya. Where do we have this machlokes between the Rebbe and the Rabbah? Shana tmima. This is a pasuk speaking about a person who sells a home in a walled city, and the seller has within a year to redeem that property. Shana tmima. The fact that the pasuk adds the word tmima says Rebbe apparently was speaking about a full year, a solar year containing 365 days. Rebbe Omer Moina Gimel Meos V'Shishim V'Chamisha Yaim. You count 365 days. K'minyan Imasacham like a solar year. And we learn from here that elsewhere as well, wherever the Torah speaks about Shana, it's a year consisting 365 days. V'Chachamim Omer No. It's a lunar year. Moina Yud Beis Chodesh V'Yam L'Yaim. You count 12 months from day to day, meaning a lunar year, if you happen to have a leap year, so the seller ends up gaining, he gets an extra month. So getting back to our brice regarding Baal Ta'achar. So according to Rebbe, it works. According to Rebbe, we have a case where the Agdash of Basar Chag HaMatzis, he was Magdash the animal this year, right after Pesach. It happens to have been a leap year. According to Rebbe, we ignore the fact that it's a leap year. A year is 365 days. So you go around the year 365 days later. You get to the end of Adar, beginning of Nisan. Shana Malia. You've completed the full cycle. You've went through 365 days to complete the solar year. But regalim leimalu. You haven't yet went through three. You haven't gone through three regalim. Because you started this year after Pesach, and the full circle of 365 days only landed you before next year Pesach. So you can have a Shana B'lei Regalim. Ela l'Rabbanan eichem mishkachas. But according to Rabbanan, Shana is always referring to the lunar year, so you never have a year without three Regalim. It's inevitable. The lunar year carries within it three Regalim. Right? Because this year's lunar year is an extra month. It's a month longer. So when you finish that lunar year, you've traveled through three regalim. So what does the Braisa mean? Shana b'lei regalim. Answers the Gemara, the Tani Rav Shmaya. We can't figure it out. According to Rav Shmaya Shita, Shmaya holds that Bezdin had the authority to arrange the months, the lunar months, in accordance with the various needs and calculations, and Tzorchei Rabim, some months were considered 29-day months, others 30-day months. There was no set consistent a number of 29-day months or 30-day months. It varied by year. Therefore, he says like this, Atzeres pa'amim hey. Sometimes you can have a case where Shavuos falls out, hey, on the fifth day of Sivan. You see, Shavuos is always going to be 50 days from Pesach. Now, as per the day of the month, that depends on the year, right? That's pending on the year. Atzeres pa'am hay. Sometimes Shavuos will come out on the fifth day of Sivan. Pa'am shisha. Sometimes on the sixth day of Sivan. Pa'am shiva. Sometimes on the seventh day of Sivan. Okay, how's that? Shnei maleim. Suppose Nisan and Iyar are full months, 30-day months. Chamisha. Then Shavuos is on the fifth day of Sivan. Why? Because you start counting the 50 days on the 16th day of Nisan. You have 15 days till the end of the month, 30-day month. You have 30 days of Iyar, so it's a total of 45. 5 days later is Shavuos, fifth day of Sivan. Shnei Chaser and Shiva. On a year where Nisan and Iyar happen to be Chaser months, 29-day months, in which case, you need an extra 2 days. So you push Shavuos 2 days later, Shiva. Comes down the seventh day of Sivan. Echad Malev Echad Chaser. If one of these months is a full month, one not a full month. So Nisan Iyar, one is a 29, one is a 30. Then Shisha, then it's only pushed 1 day further, ends up being on the sixth day of Sivan. So according to Shmaya's approach, no 2 years are the same. Sometimes you have a year where it's 2 days longer than the past year. Right? If that's the case, you can have a korban, which was around for a full year, but has not yet experienced three regalim. Why? Like this. Let's say you magdish the korban this year when Shavuos was on the fifth day of Sivan. A day later, you magdish the korban. So you magdish the korban on the sixth day of Sivan, Vav B'Sivan. Next year, Shavuos was 2 days later, Zayin B'Sivan. So come a year later, Vav B'Sivan, from the Hegdish, it's a year without three regalim, because this korban only passed through Sukkot, Pesach, but had not yet experienced Shavuos. Remember, he was magdish a day after Shavuos this year, and a year later, Vav Sivan is a day before Shavuos, because next year Shavuos is Zayin B'Sivan. So it's a Shana B'Lei Regalim. So according to even the Rabbanan, you can have a case of Shana B'Lei Regalim. Uman Tana de Pala Gleder of Shmaya. Now this presentation was presented by a specific Tana, right? We had the Meisvei, the Tana which presented a new concept of Shana B'Lei Regalim. Who is the Tana disagrees? Meaning there's a Tana Kama, there are other Shitas who don't discuss this type of concept, because Tana Kama holds there's no concept of Shana B'Lei Regalim. Uman Tana de Pala Gleder of Shmaya, because that Tana disagrees with Rav Shmaya. You can't just go and manipulate and orchestrate your years according to need. Achirmi, because that sheet is Achirmi, following sheet is Achirmi, holds that the number of days contained within a month was set standard and consistent. It's always a full month, 30 month, 29 month, 30, 29, 31. It's never manipulated, orchestrated according to need. So you cannot have a situation where the Shavuos this year is on Zayin B'Sivan, next year on Vav B'Sivan. It doesn't work. And therefore you cannot have a Shana B'Lei Regalim. So it's Achirimi, the Sani Achirim Oimrim. The years were actually very predictable. Ain bein Atzeres la'Atzeres. Therefore they say like this. The amount of days between this year's event and next year's event, for instance, this year's Shavuos and next year's Shavuos, ain bein Atzeres la'Atzeres. Ve'ain bein Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah. How many days apart is next year's Rosh Hashanah going to be from last year's Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, how many days down the week? Ela dalad yom milvat, 4 days. Why? Because according to Shita Zachirim, years are very predictable. The months are arranged very orderly. It's a 30-day month, 29-day month, 30-day month, 29-day month, which gives you a year that contains 354 days standard. Shin nun dalad yom, divided into weeks. You have 50 weeks, right? Each week is 7 days. So you have 50 weeks plus 4 days left over. 354 divided into weeks, 50 weeks plus 4 days left over. And that's why when Shavuos this year is on a Sunday, next year Shavuos is going to be on a Thursday. This year's Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. Next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to be on a Friday. So it's very clear, consistent, and predictable. If it happens to be a leap year, an extra Adar of 29 days. So 29 split into 4, into weeks is 4. It is 4 weeks plus an extra day. So that gives you another day to push next year's event down the week as per relative to last year's event. So according to Achirim, we don't manipulate, we don't rearrange the years. Every year is consistent, predictable. It's a standard year consisting of 354 days. If it's a leap year, then you have an extra month of 29 days. In any case, the Yom Tovim fall out on the same day of the month, including Shavuos, and you can't go ahead and apply the concept of a Shana B'Lei Regalim. Continues the Gemara. Bar Reb Zera. Let's go back to the halachas of Baal Ta'achr. Yoyrish Ma'u Baal Ta'achr. Suppose a Yoyrish inherited his father's carbon. And as Tosis points out, he has a chiyuv to bring that carbon. But does Baal Ta'achr apply in that case or not? Why not? Kisidar neda amar achmano, vali nader. The Torah speaks about the achar. The Torah says, if you're going to commit yourself to bringing a neder, don't delay. Vali nader, this fellow, this yerush, has nothing to do with the commitment. Although he has to bring the carbon, but he didn't make the neder. Oidilma, perhaps you can say it applies to him as well. Why? Ubaso shama. Vesem shama. Amar achmana. We have another pasuk. When you come there, when you visit the Mikdash, bring your karbanis. Vamachayev. This fellow has to come to the Mikdash. He has to be a regal. So perhaps Balta Acher relates to that chiv. Toshma, let's bring it right. The Torah of Pchir. Pchir presented a brayso which says like this. Pasuk says, Ki dorish idrushenu Hashem lekecha mi'imach. Hashem will demand the chiv, the fulfillment of your obligation, mi'imach. We learn from here, pratli yorish. It's coming to exempt a yorish. It's not his personal chiv. It's not mi'imach. So apparently he's potter from Balta Acher. Says the Gemara, "Vayim imach mboile." We already need that pasuk. We already used it for something else. Zeleka shikro peya. We had this back in yesterday's daf. Me imcha. Hashem is telling you, make sure to give the portion that belongs to the ani. That's me imach. That's from you. That's in your crop. The leka, the shikro peya, the matnas aniim. So this pasuk is already used and unavailable for Yerush. Says the Gemara, we learn both things from the same pasuk. Karbe imach, v'karbe me imach. The word imach without me is telling you, hand over the portion of the aniyim. V'karbe me imach, the extra mem is telling you, this applies only if it's your personal commitment, as opposed to a yerish on his father's commitment. But Rabzeir had another shayla. What about an isha? Isha mayi b'bal ta'achar. If an isha made a commitment, a neder, does bal ta'achar apply to her? Why not? Miyam rinan, holay mechayve b'riyah. Perhaps you can say that the concept of bal ta'achar is very much connected to and related to riyah. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash through Eilu Regal, bring your karbanis. Well, an isha is potter. In Eilu Regal, pasuk says, kol zuchurcha. So perhaps she's exempt from Balta Acher as well. Tosis points out the same halacha would apply to another person who is exempt for whatever reason, a zakin, a chayla, a person doesn't have property. All those that are pata from Riyah, perhaps a pata from Balta Acher as well. Oy Dilma, says the Gemara, perhaps you can say no. An isha is different. Ha'isa b'simcha. Although she's pata from being Eila Regal, from the Karban Eilas Riyah, but she has a mitzvah of simcha. And since she has to come to the Mikdash to experience that, to partake in the Shalmi Simcha, which is the primary fulfillment of Simcha, and therefore perhaps she has to bring a Karbanos as well. And Balta Acher replies, says Rashi off to the left. Perhaps since she's part of him, Riyah, she's part of him, Balta Acher, the Chsib Kozo Churcha. She doesn't have to come to the Mikdash. There's no time frame of regalim as pertaining to Balta Acher. Perhaps you can say, although she doesn't have to come for Eilu Regal, but she has to come to experience Simcha. That applies even to Nashim. What does that have to do with the Mikdash? Because we learned, the way to be Mekayim Simcha during the Zman HaMikdash is by eating Basar Shlomish. So, what about the Isha when it comes to Bal Ta'achar? Is it dependent upon Alila Regal, which an Isha is pata from? Or shall we say, since she's chayv in Simcha, and to experience the Shalmi Simcha, she has to be there for that. Bal Ta'achar is applied as well. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Abayis. Abayis turns to Rav Zera. How could you even have a Shaila of a typically Mida Isa B'Simcha? Of course. If you maintain that she's chayv in Simcha, then of course she has to come do her Bal Ta'achar. She has to come bring her Kabbarnas, otherwise Bal Ta'achar applies. What's your Shaila? Says the Gemara, what does Abaye mean? Mi Amar Abaye Hachi? Did Abaye maintain that it's so pasha, it's so clear cut? V'Amar Abaye, didn't Abaye himself say, Isha Bala Mesamcha? Isha doesn't have her own personal chiv of simcha, her husband has to be Mesamech. So why is Abaye asking on Rav Zera? Well, of course, Isha has a chiv to come for simcha. It's not her chiv. So although perhaps she has to be there, that's to enable her husband to be Mesameach. But it's not her own personal chiv, and you can't say it triggers Bal Ta'achar. True, Abaye himself held that mitzvah simcha is incumbent upon the husband to be Mesameach the wife. It's not her personal chiv. And of course, Bal Ta'achar can't be triggered by mitzvah simcha, which isn't her personal obligation. Rather, he's related to Rabbi Zera, who seemed to hold otherwise. Zera asked, well, is she pata because she's pata from Ria? Or is she chayiv in Baltacha because she's chayiv in Simcha? Apparently, Rav Zera held its whole personal chayiv. Says Abai, okay, if it's a chayiv of Simcha, then what are you asking? Of course, that's sufficient reason to trigger Baltacha. But Abai himself personally did not hold to that. Although an Isha has to be involved in Simcha, it's her husband's chayiv to involve her, to include her in the Simcha. Of course, that cannot trigger Baltacha. The Bnei Yeshiva had the following shayla. We spoke about the Shana deadline when it comes to a Bechor. Bechor me'masai mayon le'shana. When do we begin to count the year? When it comes to a Bechor. Abaye Amar Mishal Shanoilad. From the moment of birth. That's considered day one. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Mishal Shanoilad Tzo. No. You only begin counting from day eight when he's Ro'i La'ar Tzo, when he's suitable to be brought as a Korban. So that's when you begin the time clock. V'loy plig, he says, the Gemara, there's no machloikis. Ha betam. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is speaking about an unblemished bechor, which is meant to be brought as a korban. Then you can't say the zman starts from Leida. He's not right. He's not a suitable candidate before 8 days old. So it's only when he's 8 days old you begin counting. Ha v'bal mum. Abai is speaking when he was born as a bal mum, which case he's going to be shechted outside the Midrash, and that can happen on the first day. So you begin counting from the moment of birth. Bal mum? Mimotzi achalei. What do you mean? How could you eat the carbon? Even if he's a bal mum, you have to wait until you can verify whether he's a viable offspring, and that takes 8 days. Otherwise, perhaps he's a nefel and he's an avela. The kimlei baby shekolo lechadasha was speaking about a case where the farmer happens to know that's a full-term offspring, in which case there's no question of viability. In this case, you can have him the first day. Therefore, Abaye says, you begin counting that year from day one. Okay, so in summary, we learned about Balta Acher, which entails a mitzvah sasei, a mitzvah slay sasei, and if he neglects to fulfill that obligation, business kaif him, forces him to be mekayim his neder. The Gemara says it applies to a case where it's Amar v'lo hifrish, he verbalized that commitment, but did not yet set aside any item for the fulfillment of that neder. Balta Acher applies there as well, or in a case where he was mafrish, but did not yet deliver on his commitment. We have several shitas regarding the time frame of Balta Acher. We spoke about one regal, spoke about Shnei regal, this was mentioned back on Daf Dalet. We spoke about Shlosh regalim Kisidron, which we mentioned today briefly, and we mentioned Shlosh regalim Shaloi Kisidron. We had a shita back on Daf Dalet that Sukkah triggers Balta Acher, and today we had a new shita that even a Shana, allowing a year to pass by without regalim, is sufficient grounds to trigger Balta Acher. How do you have a year without regalim? We have two scenarios. Either according to Rebbe's Shita, that a year is characterized by 365 days. So you had the korban committed after Pesach this year, happened to be a leap year, in which case 365 days later, it's still before next year's Pesach, so you have a year without regalim. However, according to the Chachamim, that it's always going to be a lunar year, how can you have a year without three regalim? So the Gemara said that according to Rav Shmaya, it could work out. He held that the days contained in the months were unpredictable. Sometimes they used to have 30-day months, sometimes 20-day months, depending on the factors at play. Sometimes Shavuos can fall out on the 5th day of Sivan, sometimes on the 7th day of Sivan, depending on whether Nisan or Iyar were full months or not full months. So you can have a case like this. You magdish the carbon Vav Sivan, which happened to be a day after Shavuos. Shavuos was Hey Sivan, and you magdish it a day later Vav Sivan. A year later, Vav Sivan, you have a full year, but not yet three regalim, because the next year happens to be that Shavuos was Zayin Sivan. Here you go, you have a Shana B'lei regalim. The Brisa says that in itself triggers Balta Acher. What about a Yerush? Is he obligated to his father's commitments as per Balta Acher? The Gemara says no. Regarding an Isha, we left it off with a question mark. Regarding when to begin counting the year of Bechor, the Gemara says, well, it depends. If he's a Tam, he meant for a Karban, then you have to wait till day 8, where he's Ro'i for Karban. Whereas if it's a Baal Mum, and you know that he's a viable vlad, in which case you can shecht him on the first day, you count the year starting from that first day. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.